Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Hey, Crazy Cool Parents. Do you struggle with discipline in your home? Are you spending endless amounts of time correcting, nagging, and fighting with your kids to just obey? If you said yes, yes, yes in your mind, or maybe even out loud, then we have an amazing invitation for you. Dawn and Suze are launching the first ever Crazy Cool Family cohort. It's a 3-week virtual cohort for parents wanting to learn to correct effectively. It starts in early April, and we'd love for you and all your friends to join. If you need a breakthrough in your discipline, then this is your next step. All the information can be found by clicking the link in the show notes. Don't wait to sign up. April will be here before you know it. Come invest in your family with us in the first ever Crazy Cool Family cohort.
Okay, here we are. Episode 250.
Woohoo! If we were being video, then I would be throwing confetti right now. Can you imagine it? Confetti everywhere and horns. That's a terrible horn sound.
250 episodes. Wow.
Does that mean that we're old? That means we've just been doing this a long time.
It means we were doing podcasts when podcasts weren't even cool, you know?
You should have sang that. So first of all, as we celebrate, you know, episode 250, we just want to thank you, our listeners, our people. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to our stuff.
Funny, the other day we met a couple and, they thought we were from California because all they'd done is ever listen to our podcast, seen Base Camp, had never seen us.
They literally live in our backyard.
They do. They found out that one of our friends is their, son's sports coach.
Yes.
And so they connected with us. Like, they live in Dallas, Fort Worth area. So anyway, we
met for coffee.
Yes. It's so funny.
Five minutes from each of our houses.
Yes. And so we love it when people, in California or somewhere, you know,
Canada,
New York,
we love you all out there, wherever you are.
We get emails from them saying, you know, just thank you for the podcast. And it really encourages us. It's been a great, we're in our 6th season of doing podcasts. Don't really go listen to the first ones. They're
no, because
really
we've come a long way, baby.
But we are going to talk today. So thank you, really. Like
well,
Suzanne
and I just
says.
Wanted to say once again, thank you so much. And it is, really has been fun. And we just count it a privilege and an honor to get to share with you the experience that God has given us and the gift that God has given us in raising family. And we hope that through each time you sacrifice your minutes of time listening to us, that you are blessed and that you're encouraged. Mm. Because we can all agree that parenting is really hard. And so we hope that along the way, we have encouraged you.
And we will continue to encourage you. And today we're celebrating that. We're also just talking about celebrations.
Yeah.
So, you know,
great topic.
We thought we would tie it into, we've had some parents ask us questions about celebrations and how we've done celebrations in our family. And if you can imagine with 7 kids, there's many, many opportunities. There's 7 birthdays every year, and there's Christmas every year, which is a grand event in our house. And so,
Before we talk specifically about our family, though, we just want to encourage you that it's biblical to celebrate. I mean, there's feasts throughout the Bible. Jesus had the Last Supper before he was crucified.
I really think that if you read the Old Testament, you see they had a culture of celebration.
Yes.
And that's what we always try to tie what we're doing in our family to biblical concepts. And so, for example, the Israelites had the feast of the Passover, and this wasn't just a little party. I mean, it was a week long. It was they were drinking, they were eating, they were dancing, they were doing all the stuff that is part of a celebration. And they had the Feast of the Unleavened Bread right after the Passover. And so they celebrated the Passover itself as well as the preparations they had to make to go out. They had the first fruits. They've celebrated. I love that because they celebrated that God is good. and they celebrated that he is faithful, and they wanted to recognize him by celebrating, by bringing him the first fruits of the harvest. So they tied celebration into theology.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, for sure. So, and teaching.
So,
and yes.
So celebration was actually not just a party, but it was a party that taught. You know, even if you go back to, they would stop and build an altar. That's mm-hmm. a part of a celebration of God's
sure.
goodness. They would stop and do things. And that's what a celebration is. It really is just stopping and doing things and recognizing that God is good.
Oh, exactly. And paying attention to the moment, to the achievement, to the space and time and history that's happening, and giving honor to maybe the person that you're celebrating or the event you're celebrating.
And it also creates a memory.
Uh-huh.
So celebration. So it, as you're going into it, you have anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
Then after you've done it, you've created a memory, and it helps you and your family not to rush through accomplishments. You know,
right.
so often you see somebody that's won the Super Bowl or whatever, and they, you know, and well, tomorrow we're going to get back to work, and we're
right.
going to go, and that's, you know, that's how they win, and that's part of it, but. What about just celebrating the fact that they won the Super Bowl, you know, and just taking a few days and saying, wow, I'm going to celebrate that accomplishment.
Yeah. And so along with that, with celebrating and then creating those memories, what that does is that ties our family together. And that's what it's all about. As you think about all the different relational lines that we talk about, the us to God and the parent, the marriage relationship, and us to our kids and our kids to each other, our kids to God. What are ways that we did celebrate all of those different lines, because knowing that those celebrations are what tie us to each other, connect us to each other, connect us to God.
Yeah, so we're going to go through some questions that we've actually been asked by different parents as we talk about the celebrations. And we had a series of those come up, and we're like, hey, man, we need to do a podcast about this. And so
let's do it on the 250th. It's perfect. Celebrate.
That's right. Celebrate the celebrations. So the first question is this. What did we do to celebrate our kids individually or as a family? And, you know, my first thought is I'll do the first answer because I'll praise my wife. She is a birthday connoisseur. And so she just made birthdays so special. One, I mean, first of all, for Suzanne, we have to celebrate her birthdays in January. So
at the end of January.
Yeah, so right after Christmas, you start celebrating Suzanne's
the
birthday.
The whole month. I take the whole month.
But she always made birthdays really special for
I was really
kids.
Glad that none of my children were born that month, so I didn't have to share it. And
true.
So just some super practical things when it comes to having a birthday party for your kids. It doesn't have to be a big, elaborate, giant birthday party. It doesn't have to be super expensive. Most of our birthday parties were actually at home. You know, we had a Hawaiian-themed one or a messy birthday party where we played with shaving cream and the different things. And so I just want to give you some practical things. One, what we did on the day of the child's birth is the day that was about them. And so they had a special breakfast. They had a special lunch. They had a special dinner. They could pick it. We could cook it. We could go out for it. It worked out really nicely if we could have the birthday party on that day too, but there was lots of times that didn't work. And so we'd have the birthday party on another day, but we would give them, you know, a few birthday presents. One of the things that we did to tie our kids together is each of the kids would get each other a birthday present. Once again, not elaborate or expensive. It could be something that they made or something from the dollar store, but it was the thoughtfulness behind it. But I think the magic that happened when
was the birthday cake?
No, my kids, I worked at a bakery for 10 years, could make any kind of birthday cake ever, had so much fun with it. My kids didn't even like birthday cake. They took after their dad and liked ice cream better.
Yes,
so then
pies.
We started doing ice cream cakes.
Yes.
But the magic, I think, in building the celebration with the whole family so that the six other kids were not jealous of the one kid that was being celebrated all day, is that I involved them and included them in all of it, in the birthday planning and the setting up of the birthday party. I remember one year we had a birthday party for Michael, He was really into Spider-Man. And so Don dressed up as the Green Lantern, and he was painted his face all green. And we put a spider web all up and down the stairs, and the little kids ran around, and there was zones. Every bedroom had an adventure in it. So each of the siblings were in one of the bedrooms doing the adventure. I mean, all out. And everybody was involved. And so that's what we did, is we just included everybody in the planning of it, in the making it happen.
Yeah, I forgot about being the Green Lantern. there's probably some weird picture of me of that somewhere. I think that for some parents, even though, Suzanne, you said that's at home, I mean, there, you know, so many parents, it's exhausting when they think about us having seven kids. But then involving all seven kids in the, you know, don't.
Yeah, they're workers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you don't have to. The key is that it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
But a celebration is something that involves as much as you can involve. The kind of the principle you learn out of this is, to the extent you can involve members of the family and include them in the process, all the better. And so they, because then plus they're learning to love their brother or sister.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to go along with that is not just their birthdays. That was one day that was set aside. But another thing that we did to celebrate each of the kids individually is if they had an event or a big deal, like if they had a recital where they were playing their violin or a performance or a game or a tournament, then we did the best we could to get as many of our kids there to be the cheering section, to support them. And so that to me felt like it was a celebration in and of itself. And then afterwards we would go out and get an ice cream, just a little something that we could do to make that event be a really big deal in that, you know, child's life.
Sometimes a celebration is an honor of a person.
Oh, for sure.
And so, you know, we can also say, you know, vacations are celebrations. You know, going out to eat, you know, we would so often, I think my kids today, our kids today, they're very good about thanking us for buying them dinner.
Right.
And I think it's some of that's because is that, you know, we didn't just take for granted that we always throw money at, you know, it's like, this is we celebrated things. And so they appreciate that we have given to them throughout the years. And because sometimes it's a matter of, it's kind of selling things, you know, it's like, it could be just, you know, well, I expect to go to this nice restaurant or whatever, but instead going, you know, Suzanne would do that and say, wow, you know, aren't you glad we get to celebrate like this? We get to go out and have this fancy dinner or whatever, because, you know, I was usually the one that was providing for it. If I did it, it sounded like I was bragging, but I mean, but you know, when she did it, it was like, you know, aren't you so glad that God has provided for us?
And one of the best things that Don did, I mean, when the kids got older, especially the boys, is he showed them the receipt of the meal. And so then they were able to go through and say, wow, we were celebrated really big, or wow, as a man, I need to learn how to provide at this level. And so it was a great.
What would you say about Christmas? Christmas is the ultimate celebration usually every year. And so what would you say, what would you give parents about celebrating? Many times parents are concerned about over celebrating Christmas and all the things we buy our kids and everything. So seven kids, I mean, you can't imagine. You talk about birthdays. Suzanne took Christmas to a whole new level. Just about one of the things she did well, and then I'll let you talk about, I'm going to talk good about you first, is she really wants to make the experience good for the child. And so, and that was a high value for her, much more than me. I was like, how do I fund this? Just let me tell me what to write the check. But I mean, she was really good, whether it be birthday or Christmas. And so one of the things to think about is just seeing it through the eyes of your child and how they will see the Christmas, and then trying to make those things happen. But what would you say is good values for people besides that, maybe, or in addition to that, to have at Christmas to help them celebrate Christmas well?
Yeah, so the two words that I can think of are intention. Be super intentional with what you're giving and doing and celebrating. And what I mean by that is, for example, we had three gifts. That's what we gave them. If it was good enough for Jesus, it was good enough for them. You know, Jesus got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they each got three gifts. And they were usually somewhat intentional, whether it would be, you know, something to learn from, something to wear, something to play with. I was very adamant about getting everybody something to play with pretty much every year because I wanted to maintain the childhood. You know, we just play is the most important thing we can do as a child for sure, but even as an adult. And so that's what kind of focused the that is being intentional, but also tradition is the other thing. And so we would do stockings every year, which once again, they had toothpaste and toothbrushes and umbrella. I mean, not umbrellas, never umbrellas, but underwear.
That'd be a lot to put in the stocking.
Yeah. And so it had super practical things in there. So I basically used the grocery budget to fund the stockings. And so to be intentional and to create traditions. And when you do that, then it does create a very high level of celebration. One year when we gave presents, the siblings always give each other presents. One year we had them explain why they bought it. You know, I picked this out for you because I thought this. And that to me was the most, is the most valuable thing we can do at Christmas, because that's what makes the present magical. It's not the present itself. It's the thought that went into it. It's the thought that the person had. It's how they want to honor them and value them. And so many times I'll pull the kid aside and say, okay, this is why I bought this for you. I was out and about and I saw it and I just had to have it. You know, I knew you had to have it because that's the part that makes people feel celebrated. So then every time they see that, whatever that is, that gift, then they think, Mom thought of me. Mom loved me. Mom, you know.
One of the things I did at the end of Christmas is I had Sunday night, or Christmas night,
yes.
I would make them, we would do a video. They would have to give me a presentation of all of their gifts, you know, from wherever they got it, from their grandparents or whatever, and they, from their siblings, and they would have to do it kind of as a theme, like, oh, it's a game show, and they would do all their presents.
Because, or a store, yeah, they do it like a little, yes.
And so we made them do it. They got really tired of doing it. But
after 15 years, yeah. Molly was like, I'm done.
I can't think of another theme to do this with, but it was designed to, it was where Suzanne was talking about being intentional, because we wanted them to see that and appreciate it. And that's part of a celebration, is that's one of the things a celebration does, is it helps you to see and appreciate.
Yes.
And so when you go through and think of celebrations, how are you helping your children to see and appreciate what has happened or what's done? And it's, again, I love thinking of it like Jesus, like the Israelites built an altar. You know, Jesus had the Last Supper, like Suzanne was saying. We're going to stop and we're going to realize what's going to happen here, because we're going to remember this and then we're going to repeat. So the Last Supper, he created tradition. He created a tradition that we still do today to honor the greatest event that's ever happened. And so really in family, you're honoring these great, it may not be the crucifixion, the resurrection. It may not be on that level,
right?
But you're having the same theme there. We're going to celebrate things that are significant that happen in our family so that we remember them for the future and we can appreciate them.
Yeah, and I just had this thought that I'm going to share that kind of goes a little bit offline, but a lot of the times when you elevate that one child that's being celebrated, they might not be very comfortable with it. I remember Mackenzie like not loving being the star of the show, you know, all the way to her wedding day, was not fired up about being the center of attention, versus Madeline, who loved every minute of being the center of attention. So I just want to encourage you to know your child too, and know your child that you can honor them and value them and be intentional with them in celebration, no matter what their personality is like.
Well, and it leads to kind of the next question we had is, where did we struggle to celebrate? You know, what relational line was hardest to celebrate? You know, and for example, Suzanne and I, we probably could have done a better job of celebrating our marriage.
Yeah, I agree. That was definitely the line.
And so I think that,
I think we might have even gotten worse in the last few days. We weren't even in the same state for our 32nd anniversary this year.
Yeah, well, that was because of babies, but grandbabies, but yeah, I think that there's reasons why it could happen. One of them is that, you know, maybe you don't celebrate yourself very well. And so, and therefore, you know, when something happens, you know, I'm not super comfortable with recognizing things sometimes, you know. It's like, I'm one of those that's kind of, hey, let's move on. It's not, you know, we don't need to make a big deal out of this or whatever. But then when it happens, I really enjoy it, but I don't really think about it. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, okay. But, or it may be that, like a marriage, that we say, well, the kids are more important, right. You know, things like that. Or like Suzanne's saying, maybe a child is shy or they're picky. You know, that's another thing that happens sometimes, I think, is no matter what you do, the child goes, you know, you get them four presents and they're like, is this all, you know,
yeah, or something. And they will say that, just be prepared. And that's okay. Because in a child's life, their perspective is abundance because it's all they know. It's what we've taught them, and that's okay. And so they need to be also taught that there are limits, you know, that there's an abundance of love. There's not abundance of stuff.
Well, and sometimes I think that makes parents resent and not want to celebrate because they're like, oh, I want to jump into this for a minute. I didn't even think about this until just now, but sometimes we give or we celebrate with an expectation of the child doing something. And then when we don't get that, it can actually cause the celebration. You're not grateful. I can't believe I did all this for you and stuff. And it actually creates resentment. So just realize when you go into celebrations, you know, sometimes it's not going to work out the best. And that can cause struggles in the celebration process.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was thinking the same thing, but it's not so much an expectation of the child as it is of myself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Meaning the performance that I'm going to do. Does that make sense? Like that, like if, oh, I didn't do enough. I didn't get enough snacks. I didn't do it right. I didn't do it like I have in my head. I have one way that I want to do it that's thousands of dollars or what really needs to happen, which is $100. I mean, and so just understanding that would be probably was my biggest struggle when it came to celebrating. I always wanted to celebrate, but I didn't know if I wanted to put the time, effort, energy, and cost into the celebration. So I had to talk myself off the ledge that it doesn't have to be that. It can be ice cream. I mean, it literally can be a gallon of ice cream and we all sit around and tell you how amazing you are. I mean, that's one year we went to celebrate Father's Day. We went to like four different places and got one dessert of Don's favorite, like sopapillas and cookies and cheesecake. We bought one piece and all of us took two or three bites. And then we went to the next place. I mean, it was
loaded up in the car.
It was a $20 night. But you felt so celebrated. Yeah. I mean, it went down in history as one of the most epic Father's Days.
And some of that has to do with just creativity and being willing to take chances. I think that, you know, like some parents, that's the next question. What would you say to parents who don't naturally celebrate well? All these kind of tie together, you know, is, okay, so let's say that you're not a parent that's real creative. Well, maybe your kids are. And you say, hey, what should we do to celebrate Dad? You know, and I need ideas, go. Or maybe you ask your friends. And so celebrations can do so much.
Or Google is our new best friend, right? Yeah. How do I celebrate my husband, you know, on our 30th anniversary? How do I celebrate my child who just turned 18? How do I,
But going back to what I was saying is that celebrations can create, if you do it well, can create so many connections.
Right.
Because now, okay, so let's say that we're celebrating Dad. And let's say you have two kids and one of the child comes up with this great idea. Now you can honor that child too in the celebration because you can honor them. Wow, it was, you know, this child's idea to celebrate Dad in this way. I never would have thought of that. And, you know, just so many things can come out of that. So many connections can come out of celebration. So if you're not a person who celebrates well, or you're not maybe not creative or not comfortable with it or whatever, maybe just get some help. You know,
I really,
as an example, that's one of the examples I use a lot with being encouraging. I wasn't very good at it and I watched other people and I learned from it. So if you're not that person, maybe you watch or maybe you have a child that way, or maybe that's a great way to interact with your spouse too. You know, Suzanne is just great at creating celebrations out of a lot of things. And, you know, I didn't grow up that way. It wasn't really a big celebratory family. And so therefore it was like, wow, that's just something I'm learning how to do.
Yeah. And so my mom was very good at that. I mean, she wrapped the presents to the top notch and she made the special little treat, whatever it is that she wanted. She would decorate a little something. And so I definitely learned that from her, but my kids took it to the next level. And they're the ones that can create a celebration out of absolutely anything. Madeline will celebrate that the sun came up in the morning. I mean, she's like, it's a sunny day. We're going to the park. Yay, let's go to the park. Or you know, we're going to Smoothie King to get a smoothie because, you know, Everly teed in the potty three times today. I mean, and so Madeline took it to the next level. And what she did is she, which kind of goes into our next questions. What's one way you think that we can encourage parents to start cultivating celebrations in their family this spring and summer?
Well, and before you go there, I just want to tie that in to a scripture that, you know, when in John 15, Jesus says that as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. And he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And he says something that's just so fascinating to me. He says, I've told you this. I've told you about love so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete.
Yes.
Okay, so that's part of celebration is you're just having joy at life. Mm-hmm. And so love leads to joy, which leads to celebration. We have joy in our hearts. And if you don't feel like celebrating, going back to what we were talking about before we get to this last question, if you don't feel like celebrating, maybe you ought to question whether there's joy in your heart.
That's good.
And if there's not joy in your heart, then the question might be, why? Mm-hmm. God came to you with love so that joy may be in you and his joy may be complete. Well, joy and celebration go together a lot. So,
well, anyway, and I think that even to wind in that too is to gratefulness. And so if you found that you're having a hard time having joy or celebrating, then cultivate your gratefulness. Just make a list of 10 things that you're grateful for and pick one of those things off the list and celebrate it. You know, that you've made your house payment this month. Great. Dance around the house, play some music and celebrate. And so that's one of the things, you know, just knowing as you go into the spring and the summer, be intentional. Okay, what can we celebrate if you're not a celebrating family? Or maybe even if you are, maybe you can even up your celebration game. What are some things that you can do? I mean, Easter's right around the corner. And so actually, I think we've already celebrated. No.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, it is. It's
because it's the end of March. Yeah. So you've already celebrated Easter. So you missed that. Hopefully you celebrated big on that one. You know, our Savior came back to life for us. But you've also got all the holidays in the summer. You've got the 4th of July is a great thing.
Memorial Day is coming up.
Yeah, Memorial Day, May is coming up. Kids getting out of school, that's a great thing to celebrate for sure. Whether they're coming home from college.
Let's talk about that one in particular. How do you celebrate the end of the school year? You know, there's so many things that you can, you could have a dinner and you could say, look, I just want to think back to the school year and all the things that we're celebrating for the school year. Do you remember we won the championship in the basketball league, or, you know, you made these kind of grades in this classes. Try not to focus on the thing. Well, you could have done better in this. You know, I mean, that's what.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't even try not to. Just don't. That's not what we're talking about here.
But I mean, you know, think about all the, and you know, maybe one child's more accomplishing than another and you got to work all that out or whatever. But I mean, those are the things that parents think about when they're celebrating, but it's like, let's just go and have a celebration of the year and think about, and then you can start to think about, you know, another celebration is we get summer. What is summer going to look like? You know, I know, like,
we always would make a list of all the summer activities that we wanted to do, you know, to swim and anyway.
Yeah. And that becomes a celebration because you're anticipating what is to come.
Yep.
So those are things that you could do to start cultivating celebration. You know, even if there is a free afternoon or something, you know, like a lot of sometimes things come up. Hey, what are we going to do to celebrate this afternoon? We're going to go watch a movie, or we're going to go, you know, take some time to the park or whatever. That becomes a celebration. You know, I love what you were saying that Madeline turns a sunny day into a celebration.
Well, and so that's what I want to just encourage you parents, that it while events are a great thing to celebrate, obviously holidays are a great thing to celebrate, you know, things ending and starting are great things to celebrate. But what would it look like if you just celebrated the common things? You know, like, you know what? It's spring. Let's go buy some flowers and plant them in our you know, flower beds and celebrate new life. And so we're going to make spaghetti for dinner and we're going to celebrate, you know, yummy food. And so I just encourage you to do the big things, of course, but even the common things, the simple little things, and turn those into a celebration. Once again, doesn't have to be elaborate, doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be joy-filled, fun, and focused, intentional. Call it a celebration, and guess what? It's a celebration.
So as we wrap up, realize celebration is a biblical concept. It is modeled for us by the Israelites. It is modeled for us by Jesus. Even in his death and resurrection, he was going to go to a horrible death, and he created a celebration out of it. So celebration's a fact of life, if you will, and embrace it as a family. So we hope that's helped you as we celebrate our 250. We're celebrating with you and talking about a culture of celebration. As always, go be crazy. Go be crazy parents.
And
crazy.
Celebrate being crazy and cool.
CrazyCoolFamily.com.